If you've got your Bibles, we're in this series on 3:16. We're going to move to Proverbs this morning, taking a look at this passage in Solomon's Wisdom book. 3:16, if you're joining us for the first time or if you haven't been paying attention to what's been going on, Bible is inspired. God's Word is inspired. Scripture is what Paul writes in 2 Timothy is God-breathed, okay? But the chapter and verse markers are not. However, a lot of them happen, a lot of very significant passages happen to land on this 3:16 number, not all of them, and there's other passages that don't land on this number, but it seems like there's several of them here that that are worth taking a look at. So we're kind of taking a different approach to a sermon series through this and taking a look at some of these 3:16s. And this morning is Proverbs chapter 3:16. We're going to take a look at a passage of several verses there in 3, and we're going to back up to 1, chapter 1, because there's some wisdom in that chapter that helps us set the stage as well. So let's pray, and we'll dig into this. Father, you are so gracious to us to give us your word, and there are a lot of passages that really stand out to us. My prayer, first of all, is not that we just focus on those, that we read all of your word, but it is important that we take these things that seem to carry some pretty solid principles and values and important truths for us to consider and make sure we spend time digging into them. And I pray that you'll help us to gain some wisdom from these wisdom passages today. I pray that you will speak very clearly to us, that we can hear you above the noise of our world, the distractions that come our way, that we can really listen into what you are speaking to us through your Holy Spirit this morning. And so, Lord, we give this time to you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys, do you have any of those dummy books? You know what I'm talking about, right? Like Catch for Dummies and Coding for Dummies and Cooking for Dummies. The bright yellow, and they've got, there's like 500 in the series. Anybody got any of those? They've got a lot of them. How many do you have? Two of them. I'm not going to ask you what they are. I've got a few of them, and I will admit freely that I'm a dummy in some areas because I've got a couple of them. But there are several of them that when you go look through the bookstore and take a look at these things, they're just laughable. Bird watching for dummies. I don't know how dumb you have to be to need a book about how to watch birds, but it's out there. There's one of those. There are several of them. What we really need, though, is a book, Life for Dummies. Who would buy that one? I mean, I think all of us need that one. Fortunately for us, it's already been written. Did you see what I did there? That was great, wasn't it? Proverbs is a book that is really life for dummies. That's really what it is. About 3,000 years ago, Solomon wrote it. We just finished up a series on Ecclesiastes with some of his wisdom from later in life, looking back on his life. This one is a little earlier than that, and it's pretty much life for dummies. You could read Proverbs, and you can identify a theme in the book of Proverbs that's basically practical wisdom for everyday life. And in this book, he talks about life in general. He talks about romance and marriage and business and honesty and faith and integrity and working hard versus laziness and just all kinds of topics over and over and over. It's a book about how to live life and live life fully. It is filled with basic information and wisdom when you get right down into it. Charles Swindoll, in his book, You and Your Problems, he said this about some of the wisdom literature. He said, someone said that the book of Psalms teaches us how to get along with God, while Proverbs teaches us how to get along with people. He goes on, he says, Psalms is more for our devotional life, while Proverbs helps us in our practical life. And Psalms will take us into the heavenlies, while Proverbs sets our feet in the grassroots of human life. And so this is a very practical book. It's filled with a lot of very easily applicable wisdom. If you want to outline it, chapters 1 through 9, he's writing to his son, so there's wisdom for younger people. Chapters 10 through 24 is more wisdom for everybody, and there's a lot of humor in some of those passages too. And then the last few chapters you might identify as wisdom for leaders. Kind of a loose outline of the book of Proverbs, but it kind of breaks down easily there. Solomon wrote most of it, not all of it, but early probably in his life. You guys remember as we started talking about Ecclesiastes, very early in Solomon's life, God came to him and said, you can ask me for anything and I will give it to you. And Solomon didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for popularity or fame. He asked for wisdom. That's what he asked for. And God said, God was so pleased with that. God said, I will grant you not only wisdom, I'll also grant you everything else that you haven't asked for. And so Solomon gained a lot of wisdom and a lot of everything else, and he became known as the wisest man who ever lived. And Solomon understood that the key to all of life is wisdom. That's the basics of everything. Proverbs chapter 4, the chapter after our chapter this morning, he says this, the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom, whatever you get insight, prize her highly, and she will exalt you, and she will honor you if you embrace her. So what is wisdom? Well, it's not just knowledge. We're in a knowledge explosion in our world today. You can access the internet, and you can find anything about anything, and you don't even have to go to the bookstore and buy a dummy book to do it. You can find anything out there. Heather and I get into a little competition sometimes because I'll say something that I like or that I enjoy, and she will immediately send me a link to prove to me how it's not good for me. So I will find the equal and opposite link to show her how it is. It's all out there. It just takes a little bit of digging. You can find anything on the internet. We've got plenty of knowledge, but I know a lot of people who know a lot of stuff, and they really aren't wise. You know what I mean? So it's not just knowledge. It's not your IQ. You can have a high IQ and still make dumb decisions. So it's not knowledge. It's not intellect. It's not even common sense. One of the guys I grew up with in high school said that his favorite saying, and he was kind of this big farm boy down home kind of guy, and he lived up the street from him. We hung out a lot, and he said that guy didn't have the common sense that God gave a box of rocks. Common sense is not wisdom either, and sometimes people have it and sometimes people don't. So this morning, Proverbs 3 and a little bit from 1 gives us this idea of wisdom, and Solomon shows us the benefits that come with wisdom, some other perspectives and thoughts and observations about wisdom, and then he gives us some insight into how to get wisdom. So let's start off with the benefits, first of all. First of all, the benefit that we get is that we will know wisdom, we'll know instruction. Chapter 1 is where we'll start, verse 2. That's exactly what Solomon says. He says, to know wisdom and instruction. So a good definition, I think, right off the bat of wisdom is looking at life from God's point of view. We get to know what it is. And the alternative to looking at life from God's point of view is found in chapter 14. There is a way that seems right to a man, but it leads to death. All right, so we get a lot of dichotomies, a lot of contradictions, a lot of this is this, but you don't want that kind of things through the book of Proverbs. So wisdom is found in gaining knowledge and insight. Wisdom is not the way that leads to death. So a little bit of a this or that comparison. So the first benefit of studying Proverbs is wisdom and instruction is basically learning how to see life from God's point of view. It's not just information, it's not just knowledge, it's not our intellect. You can have all those things and still miss wisdom. Wisdom, in a nutshell, is beginning to see things from God's perspective. But second, he goes on in chapter 1, verse 2, he says, we'll also understand words of insight. He says, you will learn how to discern the sayings of understanding. So maybe if wisdom is learning to see life from God's perspective, here's what understanding is. Understanding would be more responding to life from God's point of view. And so when you take wisdom and you take understanding and add them together, you come up with a really good reason to seek wisdom intentionally so you can look at and so you can respond to life from God's perspective. If you want to live a life of wisdom, if you want to have a successful life in that area, you've got to look at it, you've got to respond to it, to the circumstances that crop up from God's perspective. And the problem with that is that a lot of times we don't default to that perspective, do we? We don't tend to respond that way. We tend to lean the other direction. Remember chapter 14, verse 12? There's a way that seems right, but where does it end up? Death. That's more of our default sometimes. You ever heard anybody say, I just go with my natural instincts. I just go with what feels right. That is not wisdom. That is not, in fact, Scripture, Proverbs says that's dumb. I mean, that's the Jeff paraphrase. But that's dumb. It does not make much sense. If you're, what the Bible tells us is that if you are going off your natural instincts and your natural tendencies, that is that Proverbs 14:12 way. It leads the wrong direction. Some people will say it like this: trust your heart above everything. Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful above everything. So I don't think I want to trust that. Okay? So our natural instinct is usually what seems right, but it ends in a dead end. So that means you've got to be intentional about seeking out God's insights, God's wisdom, because it's not our default position. You ever been driving out, looking around, just out in the back roads, and all of a sudden you find yourself on a road that's really going nowhere? No, just me. At the price of gas, I don't do this very often anymore. But when we first moved to town, that's what I did several times in the first few months we lived here. I just went out and I drove. I ended up on side roads and through neighborhoods and back roads and out in the country and in town. And I drove up and down streets just trying to get a perspective of where everything was. And I found a few roads that I got down them and I'm like, this isn't going anywhere. And I'd have to find a spot to turn around and backtrack. That's a lot like life. There's a lot of people who are going someplace fast, but they're going nowhere because the road they're on doesn't lead to anything. Wisdom is seeing and responding both to God's viewpoint. And then a third benefit that we see here is that we'll also receive instruction in, what does he say in verse 3? Wise behavior, in righteousness, in justice, and in equity. We'll receive that. That word receive in the Hebrew language can also be translated as acquire, which means that it suggests some action. It suggests that you are mobile in going after this. You're not just waiting for it to come to you. I had a friend in my first church in El Dorado Springs who was the sheriff of Cedar County. He lived in Stockton, and he was a certified diver. And he would dive in Stockton Lake to retrieve stolen cars, stolen weapons, you know, those kind of things. He would go down on the lake all the time. And when he would dive around the dam, he said that there are some really big catfish at the base of the dam in Stockton Lake. I mean, super large catfish that would make a meal for most of us if we wanted to have it. I mean, it was huge. And he said they just sit there because the current brings them all their food. They just receive it. That's not the word that Solomon is using here. He's suggesting something that requires more action, more mobility, something you're acquiring it, you're getting it, but you're actually putting some effort into it yourself. The Hebrew term is actually agricultural, and it has to do with plucking grapes and taking them with you. And so in Solomon's illustration here using this word, he's saying you want to pluck this wisdom, you want to pluck this and take it with you from the vine, carry it with you. And then finally, benefit number 4 is that we will get some prudence and some knowledge and some discretion out of this. Verse 4, chapter 1, it gives prudence to the naive, to the youth, it gives knowledge and discretion. I mean, wouldn't it be great if we could act prudently in every situation that we come across? Has anybody ever had a moment, that don't raise your hand, where you acted dumb? I think we've all been there. Anybody made a bad decision? I think we've all been there. Some of you guys made bad decisions when you looked in the closet this morning. Just kidding. But seek out wisdom. Seek out God's wisdom, and that will help you make better decisions than some of the ones that we make on our own. Now, flip a couple pages to get to chapter 3. We're going to look at the 3:16 passage here. Still talking about wisdom. Solomon is personifying wisdom and putting it into the form of a woman. He says, long life is in her hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all of her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. Well, there's a lot of stuff that wisdom can do for us packed into that little passage right there. I mean, that seems to be some of the main targets that a lot of us pursue through our life looking for. I mean, long life, wealth, honor, pleasure, security, happiness. Those are some of the main things that we seek after looking for fulfillment and meaning. We saw all of those things in Ecclesiastes. And God says that all of that and more is all wrapped up in wisdom. And he says, if you become wise, that's how you find joy. That's how you get happy. Solomon asked for wisdom, and God said everything that you could have asked for, that you didn't ask for, is wrapped up in wisdom, and so he gave him all of it. Because Solomon asked for the right thing. They're all part of the package. And so Solomon gives us some facts about wisdom here that we should consider as we seek it. I don't think this list is exhaustive. I think there's a few other things that we could add to this. But out of this passage, out of this portion of Proverbs, there's a few things that we could pull out that can help us be successful as we chase wisdom. Go back to the end of chapter 1. Solomon takes this abstract principle of wisdom and turns it into this person. He personifies it, this woman, who cries out in the marketplace. And this personification carries all the way through into chapter 3 as well. And from this lady that he describes as wisdom, we can find four very important observations. And number one is this: wisdom is available. Chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates of the city, she utters her saying. Verse 23 now. Turn to my reproof, and behold, I will pour out my spirit on you, and I will make my words known to you. Then in chapter 3, right before the 3:16 passage, she leads us to a life of value. Solomon says, blessed is the one who finds wisdom, the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than gain from silver. Her profit is better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Guys, let me tell you this. Solomon may have been the wisest person to ever walk the face of this earth, but God did not completely drain his supply of wisdom on Solomon. There's plenty more of it for all of us. It's still available to us. Every time you open your Bible, God's wisdom is available to you. But let me ask this. Where do we find it? I mean, I kind of just gave you the answer, right? But we seek wisdom from one of two places. There's only two sources of wisdom. We either seek it from God, or we look for it from the world. And then I would back up on my statement and argue with myself and say, there's really only one source of wisdom, because what you get from the world is not going to be wisdom in and of itself. And the wisdom that we find from the world is usually contradictory. Experts will always disagree. Cholesterol, eggs are good for you. Eggs are bad for you. You should eat a lot of meat. You shouldn't eat a lot of meat. If you ask Heather, I should eat a lot of kale. You know what I prefer? Deep-fried ribbon fries from the state fair. Way better than kale. I did discover, though, that if you saute kale in coconut oil, it makes it a whole lot easier to slide off your plate right into the trash can. But experts disagree on all kinds of things. You know what Proverbs says about eating healthy? Proverbs chapter 23, put a knife to your throat if you're a man of great appetite. Now, he's talking about gluttony there, but the principle is just cut down on the amount you eat. There's wisdom there. And there's some other considerations. You've got to listen to what your doctor says and your health. But wisdom, according to Solomon, when it comes to healthy eating, begins with healthy portions. That's what he's saying here. That's just one example of what wisdom can tell us. Because we tend to look for wisdom in all the wrong places. Too often, we buy the lie that wisdom is on TV, or it's in the news, or it's on social media, or it's on podcasts, or we find it in the horoscope, or we look for it on all kinds of other places. But in reality, the only place you're going to find wisdom is in the Word of God. It's the only place you're going to find it. So why do we spend so much time listening to the world when we've got wisdom at our fingertips? Why do we continually seek it out in the wrong places? Observation number two is that wisdom, not only is it available, it can be rejected. Chapter 1, 24 and 25, I called, wisdom is talking here, I called, you refused. I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. You neglected my counsel and did not want my reproof. So our problem is not exposure to wisdom. Our problem is experiencing wisdom. We pass right by. Solomon describes her as a lady in the busy street with her hand outstretched saying, hey, I've got something for you, and we walk right by it. We ignore it. We maybe toss a careless thank you, but no thank you, over our shoulder as we keep going, and we ignore it as we're looking for the next big thing, you know, the next fad, or the next trend, or the next thing that social media or the news or whatever is telling us is the right thing that we should pursue, or the thing that we should chase after, the next quick fix, while God says, hey, I've got wisdom. And when we reject wisdom, when we reject it for what the world offers, that always, that's that Proverbs 14 verse, it always leads the wrong direction. Wisdom is not found on Twitter. I have some friends who think wisdom is found on Twitter. Wisdom is not found on, X. It's X now. It's not found there. It's not found on Wall Street. It's not found on Fox News. Gasp. Wisdom is found in God's Word, and we've already seen that from chapter 3, that the value it can bring to our lives. So observation number one is it's available. Number two, it can be rejected. Here's observation number three. When you reject it, that can be painful. Chapter 1, verse 26. Wisdom is talking still. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm, your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer, and they will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way, and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. When we reject wisdom over and over and over, we can expect to experience some discomfort and some pain and some problems to come from that. Which leads me to observation number four. The alternative to that, you don't have to choose that. The alternative to that is that it can lead to life and peace. That's a much better option. Chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. Here's our 3:16 again. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. All her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her, and those who hold her fast are called blessed. Do you realize how critical this is? How crucially important it is that we pursue wisdom? Solomon's going to tell us, but I want to make sure that we're on the same page with him as we're getting there. The priority that we should place on wisdom is super high. Chapter 3, verse 21 now. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. And then you will walk on your way securely. Your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. And when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Anybody ever stay awake at night worrying about something? When you're pursuing wisdom, you can sleep good, because you know who the wisdom is coming from, and you know that it's a whole lot better than what you can come up with on your own. That's security. That's peace. That's what we're all seeking. That's what we all want to find. And so, how do we get there? That's the third thing I think Solomon gives us, is a few insights about how to find wisdom. And these are no-brainers, okay? First of all, is you find time to spend seeking wisdom in God's Word. That's how Solomon starts off the book of Proverbs, but he gives us the purpose of the whole book in chapter 1. He says that he wrote these Proverbs to teach his people how to live and how to act in every single situation they might find themselves, and how to do so intelligently. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, he says, hear, my son, your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and adornments about your neck. I mean, we highlighted that a few minutes ago, but there are a lot of different sources that we can go to looking for wisdom. But if you want to be wise, Solomon says, you've got to go back to where the words of truth are found. That's where you have to go. However, it takes more than just reading this. It takes more than just studying this. I know people who are a walking encyclopedia filled with Bible knowledge, but they don't know who God is at all. They know a lot about God, but they do not know Him. Maybe they've read this, maybe they've studied it, maybe they've memorized it, they can quote scripture like no one else, but it takes more than just Bible knowledge, which is why you've got to go step two, which is you do what it says. Chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. My son, keep my words. Treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live, and my teaching is the apple of your eye. This is going to be, this book, all 66 of these books that are wrapped up in this volume, it's going to be worthless if it's just a coffee table piece. If it just stays on the shelf, it's going to do nothing for you. So Solomon says two things here in chapter 7. He says, remember it, memorize it. When was the last time you memorized a piece of scripture? Something to think about. I think that's a discipline that we've pretty well rejected for the most part in our culture. We discontinue the habit of hiding God's word in our hearts, and we often wonder why we have so many problems. Just saying, there's a correlation between here and here that makes here function better. You can put that on X. Psalm 119, David writes about how to apply this. He's talking about meditating on the word. The word that he uses there that we translate as meditate is another agricultural term. It's a chewing the cud term. The cow brings that food up from his stomach to chew it again and again and again to get as most nourishment, as much benefit from as possible from it. And David says, meditate, memorize, go over that passage over and over to get as much spiritual nourishment as you can from it. And then he says, this is hard, okay? This one makes that you're not going to see this one coming. You do what it says. You read it, you study it, you put it in your heart, and then do what it says. I mean, it's super simple, right? It's super simple. You read God's word, then you do what it says. First, you commit it to your mind, then you commit it to action. That's how you get wise. I've got a friend it's Brian. Some of you guys have met my friend Brian. He spoke at our men's retreat a few years ago. He's got a cousin who was stationed, he's a super smart scientist. He was stationed at Antarctica for a long time, doing a lot of climate research. And Brian always wanted to go visit this cousin in Antarctica. I mean, that would be cool, right? So let's say that we all get to go along with Brian. We all get to go to Antarctica. I mean, who is in favor of some cooler weather right now? I mean, we'd all be ready to go in a heartbeat. So we get to go down there, and we're heading that way, and somewhere over the Antarctic, our plane crashes. But we all miraculously survive. And just before the plane goes down, the stewardess hands all of us a little pamphlet that says how to survive in the cold, frozen tundra if your plane crashes. Fortuitous, right? But that's the pamphlet she hands to us, and we've all got it, and now we're frozen, we're stuck frozen in the frozen tundra, and the plane is down. What do we do? We got a nice book that tells us how to live, right? So who's going to read it? This is where you can raise your hand. See? None of you are going to read this book? We're just all going to die. It's cooler weather. We're satisfied here. We're just bury us here. We're done. I mean, who's going to read the book? We're going to read the book, right? Who's going to do what it says? You've got the book, guys. Read the book. Do what it says. James chapter 1, James says the same thing. He says, prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude yourselves. Or the NIV says it this way, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. It's that simple. If you want the secret to an effective life, to a life of wisdom, in one sentence, that's it from James. Don't just listen to this, do this. It's that easy. And a lot of Christians, a lot of church attenders are deceiving themselves. They think they're making it. They think because they come to church and they sit here and listen once a week and they receive all these good things, which really kind of go in one ear and out the other sometimes. And we think we've got it made, and we forget what we've listened to by the time we get back to the car, much less try to apply it. And man, tomorrow I got to go back to the office, and I've got to go back to my job, or I've got to go back to school, and life gets really crazy, and I even forgot what I learned about yesterday at church. If we don't take the time to be intentional about applying it, it's not going to help us. It takes more than just reading it or coming to church and hearing about it. We've got to put it into practice, and that's where wisdom comes from. So you read God's word, you do what it says, and you start to apply wisdom. The third way is you trust God to do stuff. You just trust him. When Solomon starts off this book, he summarizes. He says, get wisdom. And you do that by reading God's word. You do that by doing what it says. You do that by trusting God. He says that you develop a relationship. In chapter 1, verse 7, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You trust. How do we become wise? Well, we put it at step 3, but it's really the first step. You trust God. You revere the Lord. Fear the Lord. It's kind of foolish to live your life ignoring the one who created you, the one who made you. You were created for a purpose. You have a reason. He's got a plan for your life, and it's ridiculous to try to live your life ignoring that, trying to do things your own way. You've got to trust him that he knows what he's doing and that he did when he made you. That's where you start. So where's your trust? Is it in the projections you find at Wall Street? Is it on the news you get from Fox News or CNN or MSNBC or wherever you get your news from? Maybe it's Facebook and Twitter or Instagram or Snapchat or wherever you're getting your inputs. Where are you putting your trust? I mean, we make a lot of stupid decisions because we're putting our trust in the wrong place, right? I don't have to give examples of that because we've all been there. And Proverbs sums all of those kind of stupid decisions up with one answer and one phrase. It all comes down to a lack of wisdom. When you lack wisdom, you make dumb choices. And when you make dumb choices, you pay the consequences. He said it in chapter 1, verse 7. He repeats himself in chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Knowledge, this understanding of who God is and how critically important he is, that results in every other kind of understanding. Not do you know about God, do you know God? Knowing God means more than knowing facts about God. It means more than knowing things about him. Do you really know him? That requires a personal relationship. That requires that you've committed your life to him. That's what it means to know him. And how do we do that? That's what Jesus came to teach us. That's what Jesus came to show us. That's what Jesus came to make possible for us. Because it can be difficult to relate to an invisible God. God is spirit. We can't see him. But when Jesus came and walked the earth, he was God in the flesh. We call that the incarnation. He was God incarnate. And so he walked on this earth taking on the flesh that he had created. And he shows us what the invisible Father is like. So if you want to know what God is like, you look to Jesus. You look to Jesus. He makes it clear. And how do you relate to that? Well, we need something we can see. And so Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John give us four good examples of how we can look at the life of Jesus and see what he did, what he taught, and why it's so important for us to follow that and build that relationship with him. We need to be able to see God. We need to see how he would respond in my situation. We need to know how we should act. And so that's why God came to earth. There's an old story, you probably have heard it before, but a guy sitting in his house on a cold winter evening. He's got a nice fire in the fireplace, but it's snowing outside, and there's a thump at the window, and he looks up, and there's a sparrow fluttering against the window, wanting to get in, because the sparrow knows that there's warmth in there. He can see the light. He can feel the heat through the window, and he wants in there. He's just thumping against the window. So the guy's like, I don't want that sparrow to die. What does he do? He goes out to the barn. He opens the barn, which is warm in itself, and he opens the doors up so the sparrow can go in there and be warm. And he goes back in. He sits back down. He picks up his hot chocolate or whatever he's got, and he looks up. The bird is still at the window. So he goes out and tries to shoo it into the barn. The bird just flies away, but when he goes back inside, back to the window. And he has this epiphany. He says, man, if I could just become a sparrow to show him the way to safety. That's what God did. God became the sparrow to show you and me the way to safety, to salvation. And so he became one of us. He took on the flesh that he created. He came to this earth and lived among us as one of us so that we can see him and we can say, that's what God is like. That's what God wants to accomplish. That's what he's doing. And we can see God through the life of Jesus Christ. He's the visible expression of an invisible God, is what Paul tells us in Colossians. And ultimately, how you get a solid grip on life is knowing that, God came. He came for you. He came for me. Jesus shows us that, and he models us for that. So essentially, where Solomon ends up is that Jesus is wisdom. In fact, Paul said that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, he says that Christ is the wisdom of God. If you want to know what wisdom is like, you look to Jesus Christ. He embodies it, he personifies it, and he is the one that makes it possible for us to have that relationship with the Father. I don't know where you're at in your faith today, but I do know is that if you don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ, then you need to do something about that. You are not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed the rest of today. What you need to do is make sure that you understand who God is, why he came here, and what that means for you and me. He came in the form of Jesus to make sure that you have the opportunity to be saved. He came in the form of Jesus to make sure that you have the opportunity to be forgiven. He came in the form of Jesus to make sure that you have the possibility of spending an eternity with him in heaven instead of separated from him in hell. That is who Jesus is, and wisdom is seeking Jesus and putting that into practice in our lives. That's ultimately what wisdom is. Jesus is the wisdom of God. And if you don't know him, today's a good day to meet him. We're going to sing a song of invitation. Nathan's not here this morning, but Phil will be up here at the front. If you would like to meet Jesus, if you would like to be introduced to him, good opportunity to come forward and make that decision. Maybe you've already made that decision, and maybe you just need to be reacquainted, or you need to grow deeper in that relationship, and we want to help you with that as well. And if that's the case, find me, find Rodney, find Nathan when he's back, find one of our elders. We would love to talk with you. We would love to pray with you. We'd love to encourage you as you grow. But also, sometimes the best way to begin to grow in that is to get plugged into a body of like-minded believers. And so if you want to make a commitment to Parkview and say, I want to be a part of this church, today's a good opportunity for that, too. We'd love to have you serving alongside us as we seek to live wisdom in our lives. Let me pray for you. Father, I am so thankful that you have given us wisdom, and wisdom is knowing who you are. And we can find access to that wisdom through your word. But it's more than just reading it. It's more than just taking a moment to see what it says. We've got to do what it says. We've got to apply it. And Lord, I pray that you will give us the ability to pursue wisdom this morning. That we can chase after you. We can learn what it is you want of our lives, and then we can practice that. And we can trust in you to accomplish what we can't do on our own. And that happens through Jesus. Thanks for sending us wisdom in the form of your Son. In his name we pray. Amen.